I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, often slip, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, thorn on his head, blood was on that scarlet robe, and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So of such blessing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Yes, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
And we greet you today in our precious Savior's wonderful name, hoping you're having a blessed day. And again, on this Sunday, we're meeting by the airwaves, amen, and a CD. But we're still the Church of God. We're the body of Christ, and we are one in the Lord. I hope each one of you is doing well today. Hope you're excited that you're saved. Hope you're looking for the Lord to come. Yes, we have uncertain days and times in which to live. Never experienced anything like this in my life, and I'm sure you haven't, but we're going to make it together, amen, because we're one in the Lord, and as long as we keep our hope, our trust in him, it's all going to work out for the glory of God and our well-being. Maybe to cause us to pray harder, amen. Are you praying? Praying that this virus will soon be out of this world. Amen. Well, I know God is using it. God is allowing it. He's going to get glory out of it because people's going to get saved because of it. So let's just together keep serving the Lord and loving the Lord and sharing the Lord if we can. on this CD that we prepared for you. I trust you'll share it with others. Let others hear the message I'm going to be talking about on this message, the death of Jesus. Jesus, my, how sad it took the death of the Son of God to save me from my sin. Yeah, and you. It took the death of Jesus to save you too. Isn't that something to think about, church? That in order for us to be saved, the Son of God would have to die? Well, in Matthew 27:33, we read, "And when they were coming to the place called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of a skull, "they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, 'They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots.' And sitting down, they watched him there." Some things in life are so awful and hard to believe, isn't it? This was the Son of God that was being crucified. This was the Son of God that was hanging on a cross. Hanging on a cross for sinners, but how few in that day realized it. And how few today even recognize Jesus Christ was dying for them, a sinner. Church folks, listen to me. Yeah, some things in life are so hard to believe, but this really happened nearly 2,000 years ago. As I've read history and learned of how people have been mistreated by people, it's so troublesome. Why do people mistreat people? Think about that. Why do people mistreat people? We all have life and we have our own problems and troubles and situations, and we all need someone to care, don't we? Someone to understand, someone to encourage us. And yet so many people mistreat people. Yeah, like the Hitler with the Jews and the communists and these communist countries, how they treat so many of their own citizens. I'm talking about their own citizens. Yeah. It does not seem logical for people to be this way. Yet they are. You would think that all people would want to be treated kindly and fairly by others. But that's not the way it's working out, is it? Some people just want to overrun other people and rule other people. They think they're, I suppose, better or more deserving. Yes, how deceived. Some things are just, you just don't understand them, the way people deal with people. Something evil has happened to the hearts of people. That's what's the problem. Something evil has happened to the hearts of people. The evil one. Yes, I said the evil one. Yeah, he's an evil spirit, a spirit of darkness, has deceived the entire human family, and we all came into the world as sinners, separated from God, because we are sinners. Yes, that's what the wicked one did when he deceived Eve, and she gave her husband forbidden fruit to eat. Yeah. The Apostle John wrote in Revelation 12:9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Get that verse from Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world, all of us. He's been cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Yes, we got up. There's really a devil that too many people don't seem to believe there is such a person. But there is. There's a spirit being, a wicked one. And he has deceived everyone. Everyone. Here's the one responsible for all the injustice and the suffering and the death that's in the world. Yeah, the devil himself, Satan. He's that wicked one that's brought the pain, the suffering, and the death upon mankind. And yet it doesn't seem like too many people are even concerned about it. About him, that is. Yeah, do you hear anyone talking about Satan today? The devil? You ever hear anybody talking about or mention him? No, not many people do not believe he even exists. Yeah, there's a whole crowd of people don't believe there's a devil. Why? They don't even believe there's a God. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Here is the plotter of all the evil in the world that is turning people against people and nations against nations. Paul the Apostle wrote to the church there at Ephesus, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." If we don't put on the armor of God, that wicked devil will deceive us, folks, and overpower us. Today, people are blaming and fighting against people, when in truth it's Satan, the devil, that's responsible for all of our ills and our troubles. Yeah. 2,000 years ago, a man appeared who was holy and undefiled, and he went about doing good. And yet, he was falsely condemned by his own people. The Apostle John wrote in 1:11, "He came to his own, and his own received him not." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven through the womb of a virgin to his own people, the Jewish nation. And yet they received him not. How sad. How sad. It breaks our hearts. He was not convicted of being a thief, or of a murder, or of some sex crime. But he was convicted to die on a cross because he claimed to be equal with God. Isn't that amazing? And when in fact and in truth, he was the very God, Creator God himself, that through the incarnation had come into the world to rescue man who had been deceived and fallen into sin. After all, this man had made water into wine, and they drank it. He had walked upon the sea. He had caused the wind to cease blowing. He had left 5,000 with, he had fed 5,000 with small loaves and two fishes. He had healed the sick. He had opened the eyes of the blind. He had cleansed the lepers. He caused the lame to walk. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. They all knew this. They saw it, many of them. And still, we're not going to have this man to rule over us, was there what they said. Yeah. And now they're crucifying him for claiming to be equal with God. I mean, listen, if a man could raise the dead, if a man can walk on water, if a man can turn water into wine, if a man can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed over 15,000 people, hey, I believe you better stop and listen. Now they're crucifying him. What has he done to cause such hate and such anger and such vengeance? Not one, not a single one of them understood this one lonely man was actually fulfilling the Holy Scriptures and the will of God in dying for all these poor souls who were chanting for his death. Isn't that amazing? In John 1:29, John the Baptist said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist recognized Jesus. He recognized him as the Lamb of God, a lamb to be sacrificed for the sins of all the world. None of these people knew or understood that Jesus was paying the sin debt of the world for all mankind, so that every person who would believe in him could live forever in paradise. They were all blind to that truth. Even today, people do not understand God and who he is. People've got their own image of God and what they want God to be like. But let me tell you something. God is God. He's the unchanging God. He's a holy and righteous God. He's a God of justice, and sin must be dealt with because he hates sin because of who he is. And therefore, to satisfy his own righteous demands, he sent his own son to take care of the sin debt for all men, for all mankind. And that whoever would by faith believe in his son and accept him as their Savior, God the Father said he'd forgive them and accept them and allow them one day to live with him. What about all of my church folks listening to this message, or someone else listening to this message? Have you made your peace with God through Jesus Christ? He's your only hope. He's not your only hope because I said so. He's your only hope because the Word of God says so. There is no hope for anyone outside of Jesus Christ. Yeah, none of these people knew or understood that Jesus was paying the sin debt of the world for all mankind when he was crucified on that cross. God is a holy God, and he cannot allow sin into his presence. That's why Lucifer and his angels that followed him were thrown out of heaven, because God hates sin. Many people's problems today is they do not see that they are such sinful creatures. Truth be told, my church brothers and sisters, we are all sinners, every single one of us. And we're only saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And that's the only hope we have. The only hope we have. Yeah. We got so many people today think they're a good person. But the Lord said there's none good but God. God's the only good person in the whole world today. Yo, as men and women today, we know good people on our level. But by God's standard, we're not good. We only are sinners. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're covered with his righteousness. And that's what makes us acceptable to God. It's not anything we do on our own. It's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Trusting Christ, his righteousness. And his righteousness alone makes us acceptable to God. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked in Jeremiah 17:9. And how few people are willing to admit their heart is desperately wicked. But God says it is. God says it is. He knows our hearts. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Yeah. How will God do this? Well, John 3:16 tells us how he did it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Yeah, they wouldn't perish, that have everlasting life. None of these self-righteous people knew they were crucifying the Lord of glory. They were religious, except for the Romans. Yeah, they were of the Jews' religion who said, "We'll not have this man reign over us. Crucify him," was their cry. None of these religious fanatics knew how much they needed the shed blood of this one. They demanded to be crucified. They didn't realize that only his blood could cleanse them from their sins. Matthew 7:27-25, then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And you study Jewish history since Calvary and see how the Jews have suffered because they crucified their Messiah, their Savior. They didn't want him. But this Bible before me today tells of a day in the future when the Jews will finally be saved during the tribulation time, when 2/3 of them are destroyed during the reign of the Antichrist, and Jesus comes at the second coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation, and finally the Jews recognize their Messiah, and they cry out to him in repentance and faith, and receive the salvation of the Lord. Oh, what a day that's going to be for the Jewish nation, folks. Yeah, what a day that's going to be. Yeah, what a horrific scene when men who are so sinful do not realize how condemned they are before God. Yeah, Jesus Christ only preached the gospel of the kingdom of God while he was here so that people could be saved, but they wouldn't listen. Are you listening? You that's listening to my message today, are you really listening to God? Has he really changed your life? Are you living by his word? Are you trying to share his word, help support his word? You know, when they crucified God's Son, Pilate had a sign put up over his head, and the sign said that this is Jesus, the King of the Jews, Matthew 27:37. It was kind of a slur at the one that was hanging there. How he didn't know he really was the King of the Jews. And one day he's going to regret what he did, his part in crucifying the Son of God. Yeah, hanging suspended between heaven and earth, between two criminals, the Son of God was dying and paying the sin debt of the world. But none of these people understood it. On that day, folks, on that day in human history, the saddest day in many respects there has ever been, when the dear Son of God was crucified. Oh, how he had been beaten. Oh, how they had been mistreated. And now he's hanging on a cross between two criminals, bleeding, giving his life for me. For me and for you. He's given his life so we can live. And because of this cross, today I've got a hope. I have a living hope, a real hope. That one day I'll join the one that took my place and paid my sin debt. And you that believe in him will experience the same wonderful experience. Yes. God was dying in Christ, paying the sin debt of the world. But none of those at the cross understood this. While he was hanging there, suddenly the sun ceased to shine. The earth began to rumble and jolt as an earthquake shook with frightening violence. Jesus gave up the ghost. It means he dismissed his own spirit from his body. He did this of his own volition, dismissed his spirit from his own body. Yeah. And he died. He accomplished the Father's will. Never would he suffer again. Praise God. Praise God. He'll never suffer again by the hands of evil and wicked men. That's over with. Praise God. Yeah. There's never been a more tragic death in human history than the death of the Son of the Living God. This man had never sinned in word, thought, or deed. Yet he suffered like no other man has ever suffered. Why? Because God loves me and you so much and mankind. He did not want anyone to be lost and go to a devil's hell to spend eternity. Yeah, that's why he suffered so. Yeah, God understands what sin has done. And God understands where sinners will spend eternity. And he's trying to keep men and women out of hell. But it seems that most folks are not even interested in their own souls, as they just live reckless lives, indifferent lives, selfish lives, thinking only of what's going on today and never looking at what's going to come at the end of life. My friends, how sad it is for man to be deceived out of his very soul. Yeah. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave what is known as the Great Commission. It's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Matthew wrote it this way: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," Jesus said, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Yes, that's the Great Commission that's given to me and to everyone that's a believer in Jesus Christ. We're to work together to get out this gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're not able to get together in our churches because of this dreaded virus today to try to hamper its spreading. But we're sharing this message on this CD to keep encouraging the people of God, the children of God, to keep encouraging you, keep serving the Lord, keep being faithful to the Lord, keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep supporting the work of the Lord. Because one day we all got to stand before the Lord to be examined, to see how faithful we've been, to see what we've done for the Lord. So I challenge you, keep praying for the lost. Remember all those in our salvation box that need salvation. Yes. Let me ask you something today. What does the death of Jesus mean for you? The death of Jesus means he paid for all of our sin. That's what it means. All of our sins, all of us that believe in him, our sins are paid for. We won't answer for our sins. He's already answered for them. He's already paid for them. Isn't that something, folks? That's a good reason to keep serving him and loving him and sharing him. We're not going to answer for sin. Our sin's been paid for as a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Secondly, it means by faith in him, we can live forever with him. Think about that. Oh, when this journey in this world that's cursed with sin is over, we're going to a city whose builder and maker is God. Listen, and we're going to live with him forever. You know what? I try to think about that, but my little old mind just can't embrace all of that. Living forever with God, with the Savior. And it won't be another troubled day, folks. Amen. Won't be any more fears or doubts. Hey, what a time that's going to be, folks, living forever. And never any bad news coming. Amen. Amen. Secondly, it means, as I said, living forever with Him. And thirdly, it means today He is with us, even in this awful time in which we find ourselves because of a deadly virus. He's still with us. He's with the body of Christ, with the promise never to leave or forsake us. And fourthly, it means you're a child of God and of the future bride of Christ. We're going to be, the church is the bride of Christ. We're going to be close to the Lord forever as His bride. Amen. The death of Jesus was for the salvation of men who God wanted to share His glory with forever. God is not a selfish God. God is unselfish. He wants everybody to live with Him forever. He wants to share all He owns and possesses and His glory. He wants everybody to experience that. He's offering it to everybody. Yeah. He wants everybody. In Hebrews 9:26, for then must He oft have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Hebrews 9:26. Yeah, God has dealt with the sin problem. Yeah, He's dealt with the sin problem. And I don't have to answer to God for sin, because Jesus answered for me and for you as believers. Amen. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Yeah. 1 John 3:5, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. Yeah. What a Savior. And I close today with this thought from 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. You see, Jesus took all of our sin. Our sin's been transferred to Jesus, all because of our faith in Jesus. That's the key thought. Our belief in Jesus Christ, our commitment to Jesus Christ. And God has took all my sin and your sin as a believer and transferred it to Jesus when He was on the cross. For He hath made Him sin to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ never knew any sin. He never sinned. But He took all of our sin, that we might be made. We're made. Get that? We're made the righteousness of God in Him. We know our righteousness is as filthy rags. No one's going to heaven by their good deeds, by living a good life, by some kind of a religion. We only go to heaven because we have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so I trust today that you'll commit yourself to the Lord more fully. I trust today that you'll seek to honor the Lord in all you say and all you do. I trust today that you'll be willing to share with others the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Pray for one another. Lift up one another and pray. But remember all those in our salvation box. Oh, how pitiful they are without the Lord. Pray for them. Pray earnestly. Pray for the church body. Pray for our leaders. Yes, believe God is going to take care of this situation we're in. And we'll soon be back together as the body of Christ, meeting together, fellowshipping together, loving together. And what a day that I'm looking forward to. And may God bless you. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us, Lord. thank you for being such a Savior as you are, because there's no Savior like our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to hearts, I pray, in the Savior's loving, saving name. Amen. Amen.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, often slip, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. A look of love was on his face, thorn on his head, blood was on that scarlet robe and stained it crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine. So on his mind.